What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Bit of an H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hello are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Look at this, huh? Uh-huh. We're back.
You're in my office.
Yeah. Huh? Wow. Looks great. Feels great.
A lot of this kid is new, and I'm looking at the camera. I kind of look like I'm being held hostage in a bunker somewhere.
Please, pay up.
But yeah, I got some cool, fancy studio stuff, so I figured, hey, let's just use it.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's we're doing things right, I guess.
Yeah, we're doing
how far away do you reckon? 10?
2 meters exactly.
Is it? I mean, it definitely looks 6 feet.
Yeah.
At least. More. If I lay down there, I don't think I would reach the end, and I'm 5'10".
I think if you laid across this table, you'd be sticking out the top.
Do you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's only one way to find out. Hang on a sec. No, I'm not gonna lie on the table.
Oh, what are you doing?
No, just see. Not a chance. Not a chance, Terry. Are you the same, what, 5'10"?
Yeah.
Yeah, like me.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
When's the last time we were actually face-to-face like this?
Christmas?
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was when we did our watch. You know what? I might as well join you.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done this in person. What you got there?
I got a Lucozade Classic.
Oh, thank you. Good, is it?
Very. Good. How have you been since last week? How was your weekend? The long weekend.
Well, let me tell you, Terry. Now that you've opened your can, and I know that there's no booby traps coming my way.
The obligatory second can is right underneath.
I came home on Friday, and before I'd even gotten into the house, I had to take my dog to the vet.
Oh.
Because it was actually a lovely scene. Like, I came home. And when I pull up, I actually come in through the back door, and the cat always comes up to the car when I pull in and just starts rolling around on the ground like meow. And I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. And then I go into the backyard, and the dog is still like the dog just sees me like, and the other way dog's like, it's like, I don't know who that is. And then when I say, hey, yeah, and then he's like, oh, he goes bombing it down. Anyway, so he was all excited. So then I'm going in, he got distracted by the cat, and then as I'm walking into the house, he bombs past me, but like gets squished in between me and the wall at the back, and the fucking yelping out. I never heard a dog yelping like that. And he's like hobbling like this, and his tail's tucked between his legs, and all. I'm like, what is it? What? And he couldn't put much weight on his paw, so I was like, he's had to fucking break in his paw or something like that.
How old is he now?
4 months.
Okay, yeah. Like,
and maybe 5. But So then I called the vet, and the vet was like, okay, great. And when did this happen? I was like, 5 minutes ago. I think I might have jumped the gun. But I was worried it was broken. Anyway, long story short, it wasn't broken. They said if it's broken, he'll have it up like this and won't even try and put any weight on it.
So did you actually have to go to the vet?
I went to the vet. They've all a system where you park in the back and you bring the dog in, they bring the dog back out to you and all this sort of stuff. But he was fine. Then the next day, he's just bombing it around the place.
Grand out.
But could have done without that.
Yeah. Not an ideal start to your long weekend.
No, like, I was like, fuck's sake. And shit always happens. I don't know if it's to us or just in general on the Friday of a bank holiday. You know what I mean? Where like, I just caught the vet before she left for the weekend. You know, that sort of stuff. Like, it's always on a bank holiday weekend. And then we went up to a little place called Raheny,
where you used to live. I'm from my neck of the woods. Wait a minute though. That's crossing boundaries.
No. Raheny Wind Farm.
Okay.
On the Wicklow-Wexford border. So I'm technically up.
You're going south.
I'm on the law. I'm not stepping out. Anyway, so we got a little tent, and we found this nice big empty field.
Did you go camping?
Not really. Well, we had like a picnic in the tent.
Oh, okay.
So we plopped the tent down with the dog and Joni and Kerry and me, and a nice view looking over Wicklow and Wexford, and I had some food and all that sort of stuff. Dog was running around, so yeah, it was nice.
Very good. Yeah. Sounds very serene.
It was serene, yeah. Terry, yes. But apart from that, not much else now. How about you, more importantly?
I went to a farm on Saturday with...
In Dublin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Newbridge Farm, out by Donabee. I told you, I can go anywhere I want in this bitch that is Dublin.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went out to Newbridge Farm, and it was grand because you booked in for a slot. Like, so we were booked in for 1:30.
Yeah.
Now, we were late, but they were just like, yeah, go on in.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah.
People like you.
You telling me. You fucking telling me.
You just had to get like he's driving.
Took a wrong turn. Yeah, we were driving, and I was navigating, and it's going around a roundabout, and it was like, it's this exit here, and then the app was actually saying it's the next exit. It's like, no, stay on here, and then it was like, just like switches back. I'm like, oh no,
he fucking does that all the time. He did that to me on the way home from this camping thing. I was like, it's head going that way.
Yeah, I know. It's like, turn.
Because I'm in seconds. Yeah. You just see that at time added on. Like, it was 3 minutes away, 13 minutes.
That's
away.
Exactly what it was. It was 10 minutes away. Like, and then I was getting real stressed. And I was like, calm down. I was like, no, we're going to miss our slot. They're going to turn us away. Oh, my fucking fault. Like, we got there. It was, they were grand. And then it was just, it was, we'd been there before with Bonnie on a day off, like when things were open in October.
Oh, yeah.
But like, she was still in the carrier and stuff like that. She wasn't even one. So
you appreciate it a lot more now.
This time she was going crazy for the animals. Like, I thought she was going to explode when she was over by the lambs and stuff like that. Like, I'd never seen her feet move as quick. Like, didn't know what to be doing. It was great. And then got an ice cream. You know.
What kind? Vanilla?
99.
Any chocolate sprinkles on it?
I had a flake, but I saying the flake. No, I wanted. That's the thing I lament about a 99 is they don't give you extra chocolate sprinkles. You almost have to make the chocolate sprinkles yourself.
Well, the flake kind of does that for you.
Yeah, but I want the flake, and then I want sprinkles
some extra
on top.
Crummage.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Kind of blew my mind a while ago when I realized a twirl was just a flake with an extra layer of chocolate over.
Mm. I mean, who'd buy a flake now, though?
If you have twirls right there and a flake's the same price, you'd be mental.
But
to buy
the thing is,
the chocolate casing of the twirl keeps the bits in.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the flake. But as I was eating the flake, sans the ice cream, I was like, man, this is a good piece of chocolate. You know what I mean?
It's because it's been dipped.
No, but
in the cream. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's been dipped.
Stop saying it like that.
I'm just saying, that's what you're tasting it. It's the satisfaction.
It's
the
dip.
Dipped.
Diop. It's been diopped.
It's been diopped.
So that was a lovely Saturday. And then Saturday night, we watched Nomadland.
Is it good?
I tell you, Andy.
I'll save it.
It soothed my soul to watch this
film. I thought you were going to say it was bad. That's why.
I thought it was great. I loved it.
Fair like it?
I think she was crocheting, so she was liking it. Ooh. But like, she was concentrating on getting
her... talking about Nomadland, don't you, with this crochet business?
She was crocheting a blanket for one of our friends' baby.
Is that like knitting?
Yeah, but apparently easier, but I'm putting Faye on blast here. But,
so it's took easier than the standard knitting,
yeah,
go on.
But it took her a few times to get started properly. So.
It's insanely complicated, I'd
I mean, she knitted a blanket for Bonnie. It turned out brilliantly. And then and she crocheted me a hat.
That
one? No, I wish. I mean, this is my most comfortable hat.
Okay.
But she crocheted me a different grey one that I wear. It's like, if it's raining out, I'll wear that thick crochet hat.
Nice.
You know, it's like a tea cozy hat, one of those lads.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Must put in an order. Steak orders?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So I watched Nomadland and it was brilliant. It's almost like you're watching a documentary and then Frances McDormand is just in the documentary. Like,
I don't know who that is.
We talked about this last week. Did you ever listen back to the podcast?
Do you ever listen back to the podcast? To keep up with the amount of names that you give.
You're one from Fargo.
Worked on the 1974 runner-up Best Academy Award picture. I don't know.
She won Best Actress last week. We were talking about her.
Fine.
Yeah. But like, it really, you need somebody like her who, because these people are telling their stories, like, it's, they're actual people who
don't live in houses anymore. They live in camper vans and stuff like that. When they're telling the stories why, you know, they live in a camper van, like, you need somebody whose reaction to it is genuine and, like, yeah, heartfelt. And, like, she's perfect at that. And it's unbelievably beautiful as well. The film, like, as in, like,
shot beautifully.
Yeah, like, it's like, a lot of it is in desert, but, like, there's parts where it's just her walking around places, and it's, like, purple and oranges and stuff like that. My
favorite hue.
It looks great. It looks amazing. And, like, I know that, like, she's doing the next Marvel movie. We talked about that last week. She's doing The Eternals, Chloe Zhao, the director. But apparently Feige was, like, she kind of was showing him a test reel,
yeah,
and it was, like, all this natural stuff, and he was like, this is amazing, as if he'd never seen it before. Like, he's like, it looks so much better than the green screen. And they're like, yeah, like, everybody online is like, of course it does. It's, you know,
how did it, what natural stuff was she, just
like landscape stuff or whatever, like some of the shots that she was doing, is she's using rather than being in the green screen or whatever like that.
Do you think she'd like put an effect on it? Or
no, say, it's like, it's just like
a bit of purple or something.
No, it's just sunset, and it's the way she shot and captured it. And he's like, this looks fantastic. It looks like better than any Marvel movie. And it's like, yeah, because you put them all in the studio, you know,
yeah,
they don't look as real.
I'll tell you something, this old green screen here.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a few things about green screening in my day, Terry. And let me tell you, if I had the option of not using the green screen, I would take it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you have to use the green screen?
Because we have people presenting, so they're standing here and there's a podium, they present their presentations on that TV there, and they just talk, the camera's above the TV and they just talk. And then I put in like a different background, so we have...
You're going to put like Springfield here for us?
Well, you see, technically I'm not using the green screen properly today because I don't have it properly lit.
Right.
Because we're in the dark here. And I kind of figured if the camera's on both of us, it would kind of negate.
This gives it a kind of like David Frost vibe, though. You know, like...
It feels like we're in Hitler's bunker or something. You know.
Last days of the podcast.
But I would much rather not use it because you have to do a whole... It's a whole thing. Anyway, sorry. I've derailed you.
Very interesting.
I watched the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Mitchells versus the Machine.
I haven't watched it yet. I heard it's brilliant. It's
fucking brilliant.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it.
It looks great as well, I have to say. And it's a really good... Joni was pretending like she was bored, but she was betting to it.
Yeah, really?
And by the end, she's like, yeah, I liked it. I really liked it.
The guys who do it are Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Like, they're the producers.
Yeah.
So they directed 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. Mm. One of them produced that Into the Spider-Verse.
I knew you were going to say something about the Spider-Verse just from the look of it.
Yeah, I think that's what they're... And Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah.
They did that as well.
It was like a great mix of, like, first of all, the animation looked great. Sony's really stepped it up.
Yeah.
But they threw in these, like, comic book little sort of graphics when something's about to happen, and then they'll have a still shot, but it'll be like a mad hand.
It's like a panel, like, book. Yeah.
Danny McBride's the dad and all this, but like,
hey,
it's
my
really,
man,
it's really good. I would highly recommend.
I want to get to it. It only dropped on Friday, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be for release or something, and then the usual COVID stuff. And
Netflix is normally
Now Netflix, I heard, bought it for $110 million.
I'd say that's money well spent because it's going to be watched by a lot. That's something that you would say a parent will keep a subscription for Netflix for that kind of alone. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they were doing it by rentals, it would probably make a shitload by rentals.
Anyway. I wonder, though, how their business model is, because they'd buy up these movies for, like, $100 million.
They're in debt.
A bit intangible, isn't it?
Yeah, like, they're in debt hugely.
Are they?
But their stock is worth so much that, like, so the shares of Netflix have never been higher, I don't think. Or they're pretty high. Because they're, you know, everybody has a Netflix account.
Yeah.
So it's when that share price starts to drop, and if the debt ever has to be called in, then they're going to be fucked. Like, it's like any Silicon Valley model, really. Like, I don't know how a lot of them are sustainable, you know. But I tried to do the math one time, though, that it was like, you know, $10 a month.
Yeah.
How many, you know, subscribers do they have?
You'd think in the hundreds of millions?
Yeah, billion? I don't know. Like, you know, so like, they could be, you know, if it's hundreds of millions a month they're pulling in, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Even if you say a nice round number of 100 million.
Yeah, so.
Subscribers.
10 or a month.
That's what, 10?
That's a billion, isn't it?
A billion, yeah.
Yeah, 10.
A month.
Yeah.
How are they in debt?
Because they're producing movies for millions and millions and millions.
Like, that's what I was thinking of when I was watching it. I was like, okay, they bought this movie for a certain amount, but like, they're not going to recoup. They're just going to like hope their subscribers go up because it's added to the general pot.
It's the thing. It's just, and it's just to keep the share price.
Yeah.
Was that like, so that's kind of.
All right. Okay.
You know.
Interesting.
So then when you decide to sell your shares, that's where you're making your money, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking way outside my wheelhouse in terms of stock prices and stuff like that, but you know.
Well, look, have you got that now?
I watched another movie. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Have you heard about this movie?
No, I have not.
Do you like John Wick?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Would you like would you like it if John Wick was more of a family man? Dad,
no,
sad sack.
I wouldn't like that at all.
Well, how about if I sweeten the pot and I say the guy playing it is Bob Odenkirk?
Oh, okay, yeah, that'll sweeten
it's
it a little
fucking
bit.
Good movie, man.
I feel like I don't. I feel like
95 minutes, and it's
streaming
it's,
service.
No, on demand.
You know I can't.
On demand, but it's great. It's literally. He is a guy, he's like, his wife won't, you know, go near him. There's a home invasion. The whole thing kicks off. There's a home invasion in his house, and he doesn't quite, like, he stops it, but not with violence. And his son is like, oh, God, dad's such a loser. The wife is disappointed. And even, like, there's a cop, he's like, if that was my family, whew, you know, I'm glad it wasn't, because I don't know what I would have done. And you're like, there's all this like simmering, like impotent rage he has. Right. And then it turns out that he is like an ass kicking action guy from his years gone by. Like, there's a whole scene where it's like he's on a bus and these like drunken Russian guys get on a bus and they kind of start terrorizing the bus, and then he like fights all of them. And it's like a really extended, like, gruesome, like crunching, like visceral fight scene, but really but you're watching it, you're like, man, yeah. But also it's kind of a weird message, because it's like it kind of wraps up like your masculinity is like how violent you can be. Weird messages like that. Aye. If you're not looking into it too much, it's very fun. Like, Christopher Lloyd is in it.
Oh.
RZA is in it.
RZA. I was thinking of SZA.
Who's SZA?
Singer.
No.
Yeah, SZA. Yeah, SZA.
SZA?
Yeah. She had a song with Kendrick Lamar. All the stars are falling.
RZA from...
I might be wrong.
Wu-Tang.
Okay, much, much better known, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
What was that? What did I...
SZA you're not thinking of, no?
No. Please.
Okay. Not a fan, for the record out there, folks.
I like Sia. I like Chandelier.
Hmm?
No, I love it.
She's a little brat, like her. You won't see my face.
I think, though, she does show her face now.
She directed a movie there called Music.
Right.
And now, I haven't watched the whole thing, but it's about an autistic girl who uses music to, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the portrayal of the autistic girl is so offensive.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, just even the pictures of the girl playing her is not autistic.
Right.
But she's just like gurning, like that kind of. Very, like,
very offensive.
Very offensive.
There was a thing, there was a really good one that Pixar did. It was like a girl on a boat, and there's like a summer camp or something, and the guy's like, oh, I don't want to be with her, she's weird, and all this sort of stuff. But like, she only kind of responds to like these kind of tones on a keyboard that she has.
Is it one of the shorts? Is it?
Yeah, it's one of those shorts, but like, it was good. It was only like 5-10 minutes, but it's good just to even for kids to watch it, just to help understand and all that sort of stuff.
Pixar have been pretty good. There's one about like a gay guy coming out to his family as well. That was a good one.
I think it was called. Yeah,
that was a good one.
They're all pretty good, to be honest. Yeah. Although I have to say, and I was saying this the other day, I think Pixar have dropped the ball in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is fair to say. I mean, because Disney itself has kind of been chugging upwards, bar Frozen 2 maybe, but like, are you a fan?
Big fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
They're not doing well, like, financially.
Yeah, of course, but it all always. But I mean, quality-wise, right, people talk about, like, you know,
it's probably not as good as Frozen 1. Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay,
I will give you that.
But like, even like you say, other animation studios, Sony, like Cartoon Saloon, are like coming up. You know,
it's really different. Even that one, the Mitchell and Machines or whatever. Like, it was very different, and it was very pleasing to watch. And there was a little bit of like, this is how I know, and I'm getting old. Like, there was a lot of that sort of, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to describe it properly on the podcast, where like she's making a joke, but then like it'll just go real crazy for a sec, rah, rah, and the face will change, rah, like craziness, kind of like social media is now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like just mad, quick, frantic, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, this is how I know I'm getting old, because this is what is in now.
Yeah.
You know, this
Did
is
you like
the
it?
New way. I didn't like particularly like those bits, but I liked the movie. Yeah. I really liked. But yeah, Pixar, it seems like they don't.
I think it was because
they don't have the finger on the pulse as much as
they were
used
top
to.
Dogs for so long, and now they're kind. They seem to be coasting. You're right. Like,
yeah, that's exactly it.
One last thing I want to talk about.
Yeah,
I've been doing a bit of gaming, Andy. But it's an old game that I bought remastered.
Go on.
Heavy Rain.
I never heard.
Did
of
you
it.
Ever play?
No.
Man, I like it. It's one of my. Now look. The controls are a bit clunky.
Right. What originally was it on?
I think it was on PS3. Maybe PS4.
Heavy Rain.
Yeah. It's kind of it's you. Hang on, you had an Xbox, did you?
Oh yes, you better believe it.
Alan Wake. Did you have Alan Wake?
Oh yeah.
So it was like the version of that. Like, you know, it's like a movie video game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of Heavy Rain. Then is it?
Yeah.
I must get that for the PS4 because we've been dying for an Alan Wake-esque game.
It's very much, and this is, you play as multiple characters, really. Like, you start off as a guy who...
I see you here.
He's like an architect or something. He's an architect, and the first level, I guess, if there's a level, is that the first bit?
Yeah.
It's just you, like, playing with your kids in the back garden and getting ready for the birthday party and doing all this shit. And it's kind of just, like, building, laying out what his life is like.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next thing happens where there's, like, a bit of a tragedy that happens, and it picks back up, and it's, like, the guy is living in a fucking shitbox house. Right. His kid hates him, you know.
Is this really critically received?
I mean, I was...
Back in the day?
I think, like, on IMDb, it has 8.9.
That's 5 out of 5 here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it kind of jumps around. The whole thing is that, like, there's this serial killer. The part of the game I'm at now is a serial killer who... It's like targets children, drowns them in the rain, and nobody's been able to go, and leaves like an origami thing with them. He's called the origami killer.
Okay.
So like you play as the dad, and then you play as a private investigator who's been hired by somebody to try and look, and then you play as an FBI agent brought in.
Is there a lot of looking for clues in the game?
Not really. You know, there's action scenes like where you get into a fight and it's like move the stick right, move the stick left, up, whatever like that. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know. So, like, I'm very hooked on it now, I have to say. I stayed up, I don't know what night it was. Maybe it was Sunday, and it was, like, 12 o'clock before I realized that it was like that. So,
nice.
Good. You know, it's very cinematic. My favorite type of game.
That's what I wanted. Now.
Yeah. I think I got it for, like, 12 quid on the PlayStation Store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. Like, so.
I'm getting that.
Yeah.
I'm getting that.
I'm getting that.
You think you're getting that? Yeah, Johnny was recently playing Animal Crossing.
Is that good?
It's really
good.
And
she got a Switch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Switch you... Switch-like. Oh, I was going to say, you motherfucker.
But
you been playing Mario Kart without me?
No, I haven't been playing Mario Kart, to be honest. But we got the Switch Lite.
Zelda?
And then by the time... it was first something, Christmas or birthday or something like that. And by the time it came around, like, the actual Switch was cheaper, but we'd already gotten
the Switch. Is the Switch not really expensive?
Yes. It was definitely a birthday or Christmas gift.
Yeah, it's like 300 and something. Like, huh?
No, this is like 2 something.
Okay, that'll do.
But the Switch Lite's great. But it's really good. I didn't understand it, to be honest, the first few days she's playing it, I'm like, what do you do here? Like, how am I supposed to know that if you talk to that person, he unlocks this and then you can go? But like, it's all about like, it's good for teaching her actually, because like, one, it's such a nice wholesome game. It's like that sort of real Nintendo sort of, you know, wholesomeness. And like, you go around, like, okay, you start off in a tent, and then we figured out through watching YouTube videos of like, okay, if you go and talk to that person and give them these bugs, then they'll give you like, you can buy a house. And then, so then she's trying to buy a new house to make it bigger, but she's like, oh, but you haven't paid the loan for that house, so you have to pay off this loan, and then you get that. So she's just even hearing
learning
her talk,
real world economics,
just,
like,
just even hearing her talk about like, you know, like, I have to pay off this loan first, and then I can like, extend the house,
responsibility and stuff, yeah. Like,
so all the, and like, it's real time. So like, if you say, okay, I want to build a house, it'll be okay, it'll be ready tomorrow. But like, you have to wait till literally tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It's like real time the whole
time. You can't go to sleep and then wake up or anything like that. Like,
no. No. And it's like, if it's snowing where you are, it's snowing in the game. Like, that sort of stuff. So it's actually, it's quite good. Like, I found myself to be like, I said last night, I was like, you know, when you're asleep, if you want, I can get loads of money for you. And I was just like, no. I was like, okay then. I want it.
Damn it.
Anyway.
Does Joni watch people playing games on YouTube? Yeah.
Yes. She loves a walkthrough.
I found myself weirdly, first time ever, like, I was on Twitter and it was like one of the guys of Dream Gun,
oh yeah,
Stephen Colfer, had put up that he was like, he's the main, he's the kind of, you know, the blondie haired fella.
Yeah.
He was doing like a Resident Evil 4 like playthrough, and I was like, I'll just click on it. Like, yeah. Here.
On Twitch, was it?
It's on Twitch, yeah.
Yeah.
And I found myself just like, I was like, huh, this is the first time it's ever like drawn me in to be like, I want to actually just want to sit here and watch him play this game.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's because I've beaten Resident Evil 4 and I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
I think that's what drawn me into it on Twitch. Like.
There's some good stuff on Twitch. Two people that I really follow on Twitch are just Limmy and Blind Boy. Blind Boy does every Thursday, and it's actually really good. Like, he'll just come up with like these impromptu songs, but like really good songs, just based on the chat and based on what's happening in his game.
Does he be gaming now?
Yeah, he games Red Dead Redemption, I think. And Limmy, like,
I saw him writing about like how he's so much happier being a streamer, rather than, he's like, all the fucking, the nerves, like, and stuff coming up with pitches for BBC and stuff like that, that like, he's like, that's bollocks. Like,
it's one of those, like, because like on Twitch you can just, I don't really understand how it works, to be honest, because like, you can watch for free anyway, but people are sub for like $6.99 a month.
Do you get extra stuff when you sub? And like,
probably, yeah.
Isn't there, I don't know if it's sponsorship or what, like if you become like a top level
mod,
there is a business model to it, I'm sure. Yeah.
But the problem is I can't watch it when Kerry's asleep, because as you know, I have the TV there in the bedroom.
Yes.
And because he whispers so quiet because his wife is asleep next door, so he's like, I don't know, how can I get in there, this sort of stuff. And then something happened, like, no, like so loud, I'm like turning it down, like, fuck, she's
headphones.
Yeah, but I Chromecast it now on the TV, thanks to the new lovely Chromecast.
Yeah.
Anyway, Terry, can I please talk to you about
half an hour. Jesus.
The Simpsons, please.
Sure.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the fifth episode of The Simpsons' eighth season, Bart After Dark?
Please.
Well, Terry, it aired on the Fox Network on November 24th, 1996. I haven't researched this. I'm going to say that.
The Box Factor.
I was thinking Box Factor.
Yeah.
It was directed by Dominic Pulcino and written by Richard Appel. Richie Appel, is that?
Yeah.
Is that a person?
Richie Aprile is...
That's what I'm thinking of. Who's that?
He's...
Sopranos?
Yeah.
It was written by Cesare.
He has
Sopranos,
no respect.
Actor.
He had no respect.
I started watching Sopranos again.
Hey!
After listening to that Mafia thing. Oh, what did you think of it, by the way?
Very good. I am like three episodes in or something.
Ah, very good.
I thought the first episode was very good. The second episode where he's talking about doing the hit.
His first hit, yeah.
Yeah, that was okay.
This is our thing, the podcast.
But, no, it was good.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I will stick with it. Excellent. The video, particularly, I think it was episode 7, I was like, this is one of the best, like, individual stories I think that I've ever seen. Anyway, as we mentioned, it was written by Richie Aprile and directed by Dominic Pacino. Appel was looking for new locales to put Bart and thought it'd be funny to have him work in a burlesque house. The problem was to find a way to put such a huge house in Springfield, which was solved with that bit with the toy airplane. I mean, I'm surprised they even questioned it when they had the bushes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. You know, it's not a problem. It's, you know.
They could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
There were a dozen different possible names for the burlesque house, some of which were raunchy. What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with that fact? Josh Weinstein said that there are so many sleazy characters in The Simpsons that it was easy to find people for the scenes of the burlesque house.
I think that, like, they chose their... How would you call it? Your cast. Not cast the characters, but like, you know.
They did choose them well.
Like, yeah. The people that they put in there are like, yeah, I get it.
Who
like,
are all for
it. Like the whole like clip part of it was it was good. Very we'll good. Get to it anyway.
Yeah, it was very good. Belle was not modelled after anyone in particular, and she was redesigned several times. She was voiced by Tress MacNeille, but there had been previous efforts to cast a guest voice for the role. Tress MacNeille is like a...
She's one of the...
On the team.
Yeah, like she's not quite like Phil Hartman level of like, you know, pitch hitter.
She's a good voice though.
She comes in quite a bit, like, you know. She does the executive lady. I'm a sexual predator.
Like someone's got a case of the sposeders.
That was her as well, actually, yeah.
Excellent. She's actually quite good, I like her.
Yeah.
Now, The Reception
by Marshall Todd. Oh, The Reception.
Why does this guy come up in every podcast?
You open the door every time.
Terry, you just never shut up about this guy. Bart After Dark finished 57th in the ratings on that week. Nielsen rating of 8.5, equivalent to approximately 8.2 million viewing households.
Where was it on Fox?
Fourth highest. Care to take a stab at the
I'm
going to
stick with my same as last week. X-Files, 90210, and Melrose. In that order.
Well, it's not the order it's given me here. I don't know if it's the order.
Oh.
Excuse me, but here it says X-Files, Melrose Place, and Beverly Hills.
Damn, Melrose overtaking Beverly Hills.
It won a Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Music and Lyrics for We Put the Spring in Springfield. Ken Keeler and Alf Clausen won it, to be more precise. I'll be honest, that's all I've got, to be honest.
Let's just get into it.
Let's just fucking stop this now and just get into it, eh?
What do you got as your first note?
To be honest, I mean, the first note I just have here is just the joke, but I feel I'm already jumping the gun where they're talking about like the cleanup on the beach, and Brockman's like the first to respond are always those unsung heroes, Hollywood movie stars. You
know? Like I didn't particularly care for the start of it, where like when you start with an itchy and scratchy, I was like,
they've got nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I felt like that, and the only saving grace was Homer being like on the couch. The kids are watching it. Very real. He was like, "Sorry, my fault."
Yeah,
and they're like, "V chip," or like when?
Oh yeah,
like the whole thing with Scratchy at the talk show. It was just like, okay, get past this. That's what I was like.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I felt like Milhouse. You
know, it made me think when Homer turned it off for a second, like, have you ever, how often does it happen, not even necessarily with Faye, but that you've been playing something and someone's just come and turned it off? Does that get you more annoyed?
I mean,
I can't contain my rage when that happens, to be honest. I mean, I can, but I'm
bubbling on the inside. Yeah.
I get I'm so offended.
Like, is it the TV that gets turned off or is it just the whole shebang?
Console.
Oh, no, not off.
Now, to be fair, I don't know if this has even ever happened to me in the last, like, 10, 15 years.
You don't do it.
But I remember the feeling, all right?
You don't do it.
The TV is fine. You can come back from the TV. Yeah. Anyway.
I did like when they're looking at, when Brockman is, like, laying out what happened. It was like, apparently the captain was drunk at the helm. It was later confirmed. And it's Captain McAllister like, I'm in a lot of trouble here. I'll give you $100 to take the blame.
And then Lisa, of course, sees this and wants to go, because it's literally called Baby Seal Beach. And I love the whole thing of when she's begging marriage and like, it can be my birthday and Christmas present. And it's like, your birthday and Christmas present was that peach tree and you hardly ever play with it.
I don't know why, but it's like, are playing on my peach tree,
it's so obvious.
I just think it's really fun.
Yeah, like, I thought that was funny, all right.
Yeah. And then the whole thing with Marge and Homer is like, now the cat needs his medication every morning and the furnace has been putting off a lot of carbon monoxide. So keep the window open, like, get in the furnace. It's like, I'll take Maggie with us.
When we were watching that, I was watching that with Kerry, she's like, that's you to a T. Like, he's not even listening, he's like, gotcha. Okay.
Not taking anything in.
And it's like, gotcha, get in the furnace.
I did love, like, the idea of Bart and Homer having the place to themselves for a week is great.
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh, the TV on the kitchen table. Yeah. I love that.
But he's like, image. See you at dinner. Like,
yeah.
What time? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, oh, say 10. Yeah. He's like, 10 it is. Just wake me up.
I love that. And then, yeah, the TV on the kitchen
table. They're so alike, which is something like one of the first times you see how in sync they are. Like, you know.
And I quite like just even the general splitting of Lisa and Marge. And Maggie and Bart and Homer. Like, Bart and Homer look like they're having the time of their lives.
Yeah. I did love when they got there, Lisa and Marge. He's like, I'm going to rescue a baby seal there and that. And he's like, whoa, I'm sorry. All the animals have already been reserved for celebrities.
Like, I love that, like, reserved for celebrities. Like, they're still dirty, just waiting for the celebrities to show up.
Yeah, 104 pounds of sandpipers. Like,
which is all dance. Yeah. Well, there's rocks.
Thousands and thousands of rocks.
What is it about the sort of long-haired, bearded guys in The Simpsons that just make me laugh?
He's kind of the same voice as the tips guy from last week.
That's what I was thinking, like, of.
I got rocks that need washing at home.
I love that line.
Marge, again, like, just, I was in on her in this episode. Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
Marge, to me, in season 7 and now 8, is like what Mr. Burns was seasons like 5 and 6.
It's weird to say she's a breakout character, but they really
she's
are.
She's a main,
like,
family member, but she... I was so dismissive of Marge before starting this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
when Homer and Bart are making garbage angels, I love the line where he's like, "Can I go to the park?" He's like, "Do I have to sit up?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, I'm like, knock yourself out." He's like, it's just the way he says "knock yourself out" and rolls back over. Like,
the next note that I have here is just the, I don't know if I'm. The model plane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
It's just Smithers blocking it with his head.
Like, but before it's like, Bart is like telling them to make a crash, and like Milhouse is like, perfectly level flying is the supreme challenge of the scale model pilot. And Nelson takes it, and it's like Martin and Ralph in the boat, the pedalo.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's scaling on us. And then it ends up through the park.
Bart and Smithers having a picnic.
Yeah.
I just quite like that.
Just the way he puts his head down.
He puts it. He doesn't even hesitate. He's like, his head doesn't budge. Like, it's like, burn.
So funny. Again, like last week, very cartoony, but very funny.
Yeah.
You know? And it gets stuck on the haunted house where the witch lives.
Yeah.
No, it's a Frankenstein. No, you guys are way off. Secret lab where they take the brains of the zombies and put them in the hands of other zombies to create a race of super zombies.
This logic just doesn't even make it, like, to other zombies.
Yeah. And then Nelson being like, that's the house?
Yeah. Like, it's common knowledge.
I'd be a kid.
Was there ever a house like that around where you were growing up of like, oh, don't go there?
There was, there was a house like down the bottom park where it was just a dilapidated house, but it was like, don't go into the garden or anything like
anything
that.
Dilapidated or overgrown grass.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't go in there.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't have been like that for you living in a gated community.
I tell you, we had a few.
Yeah, right.
There was one guy who...
put him on blast. I want to know his name.
I can't think of his name. But I remember there was a big thing. All their parents went around and gave out because he like hit someone, one of the kids, for pulling knickknacks or something like that.
But adults in the 90s were weird. They acted as if they were adults in the 70s, and like as if they could still get away with giving out a beating
to kids.
I remember me and friend of the podcast, Thomas Coffey, were like on the bottom green where we hung out, and it was like there was a guy, we used to call him Tato Man because he would always have a pack of Tato.
Tato Man.
Yeah, he would always have a pack of Tato with him. But like Coffey, I think your man was coming back from the pub, but Coffey literally just like went over real flamboyant and opened his gate as he's going, he's like, good evening, sir. And your man like grabbed him by the neck, picked him up and started kicking him.
What the fuck?
And like, Coffee was a tough little fucker, but he was like, Jake. Like, and I was just sitting there like, like, we went around and told his parents. And the only reason Coffee did it was because like the older lads we knew hung around with were like saying that's what they did. I don't know if they ever do it, but like, obviously Coffee.
Jake, if one more fella opens my gate for me.
It was just like, it's like, and we were like expecting his parents to go around and like raise bloody murder. They didn't do anything. Yeah. Like, I think it was they're probably like, you're being a little shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's fine.
I remember there was we were getting on off the 123 outside Charlemont.
Oh, Charlemont.
Right? And do you remember like the 123? It's probably still have them where they have that like one single seat up the front facing each other. Or there's two, but they're sort of on the left hand side.
Yeah.
You can pull it out or you can sit down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's different now because they're all double deckers. Yeah. But, yeah.
And we were sitting at the back of the bus anyway, so we got up to get off. And I guess at the time there was someone sitting in one of those seats and he got up to talk to the driver or something like that. But I was like, you know, the way you just sort of go to the front, you're waiting for it to get to the stop. And I sat down in that empty seat. And I guess he had just gotten up to ask the driver something. And when he came back, I was sitting in his seat. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't even see him there the first time. And he sits opposite me and he's looking at me like this. And I'm like,
hello.
He's like, are you happy, are you? I was like, yes.
Can't you tell?
And then as the bus doors open, he sort of tried to give me like a kick up the arse, like, get out of there.
This is clicky
like,
seat.
Yeah. I remember I was with also a friend of the podcast, Sean Harnett. He was like, I remember Sean being like, fucking prick. Yeah. We were about like 10 at the time. Like, who's he fucking think he is?
Couldn't do that these days, huh?
No, you could not. But you should.
Well, we were in the park yesterday and there's this bunch of kids. I don't know if it's a new thing where they like spray aerosol to get high or something like that.
Who knows?
Yeah, but it was the thing. They were spraying some sort of aerosol where they were. But like one of the girls like had to be kept walked around.
Yeah.
And it was like they were holed up in like, it's like a pirate ship thing down in Fairview Park for kids to climb on. And these are all like 14 maybe. But like, yeah. They're just like holed up in there. And like, we were like, oh, we wanted to bring Bonnie on that. But like,
guess not.
Yeah, don't want to go in. And then I was like, I feel like going over and being like, hey,
get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
And those fucking punks.
You know what's funny? It's only literally the last couple of like years that I feel like I'd have the confidence to do that. Like, there was kids lighting a fire in the field behind my house. But it was very close to the trees. Anyway, me and this other old guy put it out. And then as I was walking with the dog like a week later, I could see a bunch of kids further up the field just going, grabbing their bikes and running when they seen me coming with the dog. And then one of them was about to go. He was sort of like left behind. And he was getting his bike. He's like, do you mind if we do that? Or whatever like that. Now, like, I don't mind if they light a little fire down the back of the field. And I was just like, I don't mind if you do it here. Just don't do it up by the trees because the whole thing will go up, whatever. And I could hear, he's like, oh, all right, Grandy, and all this sort of stuff. He's like, oh, we put sand down so it doesn't damage the ground and all this. I was like, Grand, yeah.
That's actually kind of sweet.
And I could hear the kids going, what did he say? You know, all this.
How old were they, like 13?
13, 14, like, you know. It's the first time I'd ever been an actual, like, adult talking and not just like, I'm avoiding them.
Now, son.
You're hurting me.
It's a cowell, you're hurting me.
Anyway.
So Bart climbs up to get the plane.
Yes.
I've always loved this with Bart being like S-U-C-C-E-S. And looking there and like
trying to spell it wrong.
Yeah. That's the way you spell sucks. Oh.
Yeah.
And then like when he's hanging on the little ladybug, like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, I like that.
Great animation.
Yes.
For that. Like really good.
Very good.
And then when they fall, it's like, he's done for or whatever, and they just like run off.
Yeah. We better hurry.
Yeah.
They just run away. I like the fact that she takes him by the ear and marches him the entire way home.
Yeah.
And Homer answers wearing a garbage bag.
A grocery bag. I have misplaced my pants.
He says it with such dignity.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And then it was like, she's like, you need to punish him. It's like, it says laughing. He's like, he hates that. And I gotta live with him.
The mere threat of telling his mother. She doesn't know the mother's situation.
Exactly.
His mother passed away, whatever. You know, how dare you? And I love the fact that, you know, he changes his tune then. He's like, he'll be disciplined and disciplined. Well, yeah. Good day. And then, like, Bart's trying to get out of it. He's, I just love the line. He's like, give your old man a little credit.
Yeah, he's like, she makes me taste beer.
Yeah. The garbage just falls out of his, his trousers. He's like,
when Homer drops him off, he's like, you're going to do chores until you work off the damage you did. It's called responsibility. And like, yeah. He crashes into the mailbox and then like peels out. Like,
And then, so Bart gets, he gets the job there. He's working at the front.
Well, yeah, like it's a good reveal where it's like, I'm going to be dusting doilies in an old house. And then like, dun, 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 you know, like.
Yeah. They do a good job with the animation of those sort of like show, whatever,
the burlesque dancers or whatever they're supposed to be like.
Then they have him sitting at the front, and just, you get that grandpa meme, which has just been used for everything, of just, it's the smoothness of him coming in, taking his jacket off, taking his hat off, walking a step, turning back around, putting it back on. And there's something about like it, the fact that it's grandpa, like it's even, it's, he doesn't even do it cool, he goes back in. Is your name Bart?
Does your father know you're working here? Like, it was his idea. In that case, I'll have a whiskey sour. And like, just straight through, like.
And then, well, you have Smithers.
Smithers. Like, first of all, before like that, it's like Lisa and Marge scrubbing the rocks. And it's like, we have to see it through, no matter how unpleasant. And your man's like, quitting time. Okay, scrub up and head for communal tarp. We're having kelp burgers and we're going to watch a tape of Johnny Arvik. He's the Eskimo comedian. And it's like, Master Mom, Master.
And Marge is like, hunched down.
They all, and like, they look so crazed when they're escaping. Like,
now, like, that was a really odd, like, secondary plot line, I found. Like, because it kind of like, that's the end of that.
But they just have to get them away to get them back. You know,
I suppose,
what I mean? Like,
because
all this stuff couldn't happen when Marge is around. So you need to, it's like,
they were away for a weird amount of time.
That was what I was thinking as well, because it seemed,
make it the whole or make it the start.
It seemed like they were gone for a day, and while they were gone for a day, 4 days had passed back home. Like,
basically.
You know, or maybe it was the, I mean, it's 400 miles, so
it didn't seem
right. You got a car. How long would it take you to drive you 400
miles? 400
miles? Yeah.
5 hours?
Okay.
Maybe. Is that right?
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
80 miles an hour. Yeah, that works.
Whatever the speed limit is, that's what I'm
going. Sure, yeah.
But this terrible reputation of being some sort of speedster. It's the car, I tell you. It's a 6 gears. I got no choice.
Drive me, Andy.
Come on, Andy, drive me.
Come on, baby.
But when you have... Smithers walking into the place. That was my next note, where he's not even looking at Bart there, and he's like, is Roxanne back?
Oh, Skinner.
Sorry. And he's like, is Roxanne back? Uh-huh. Did she get my flowers? Like, he's already looking through the curtain.
She did. And it's like, this is the National Air and Space Museum, isn't it?
Brilliant. Like, I love that. He's such a regular there that he's just coming in, making himself a home straight away.
I did like, just in between that, like, you have Bart doing the stand-up, which I don't really care for.
Yeah.
But Homer at home, he's like, where is Bart? His dinner's getting all cold and eaten. And it's like, it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? It's like, I told you last night, no.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, Homer gives out to her, but then he realizes it's a burlesque house, so.
Yeah.
You know, we'll camp him tonight. Start a tab tomorrow.
And it starts with like is this when like Flanders and all come to the door, or was that after? Because
it's after the Skinner part. Then it's like Homer, they all ring, and then it's like, oh, this isn't going to be about Jesus, is it? All things are about Jesus, Homer, except this.
But I love when they're talking about like, your son is working in a burlesque, whatever, and Skinner again, he's like, what's the
line? So it's like, Principal Skinner saw him with his own eyes. And he just pops up like, that's true, but I was only in there to get directions on how to get away from there.
Oh, I love that.
And like Flanders being like, I'm as permissive as the next parent. I mean, just yesterday, I let Todd buy some Red Hots with a cartoon devil on the box. But you can't possibly think it's appropriate for your 10-year-old son to work in a burlesque house.
And Homer emphatically just repeats it, and then
his 10-year-old son is going to be working on a burlesque house. And then Marge is there.
I love that Marge is just all covered in like oil and crud and like it's a great big overcoat.
It's a great act break, you know, the end of the act where it's like, now Marge, you're going to hear some crazy things.
Is that when Marge then goes and talks to your one?
Well, kind of, because then she's like, did you know it was a burlesque house? And he's like, no, I only learned that 4 days ago. She's like, when you sent him there, and Homer kind of turns it around on her when she's like sending him to an awful place, and he's like, I tried to punish him like you would, so in a way, this is your fault. This is your mess, and I'll be damned if I'm going to clean it up.
It's a bold move.
Yeah. And then they have the back and forth.
When it's just when Marge is talking to your one, and she's like. And she's going through the whole thing, and your one is as much of a right.
I love how much your one is like, I've been here 52 years.
Yeah, I'm third generation.
Six.
Yeah. And then there's like a pause. Marge's like, get out of my town.
Get out of my town.
She's just done being smart.
Yeah.
And then, like, when she's talking about, like, at the town meeting where she's talking about the house, and the fact that the townsfolk are just so obsessed with the actual house, where he's like, what's wrong with this house? Is it the plumbing? And then they keep going.
Quit bad mouthing the house. Yeah.
Surveyor.
Yeah, leave the house alone.
And then when they're showing the pictures of everyone coming in, and it's just the slit of their eyes.
So first one is Dr. Hibbert. Which I was surprised at, to be honest. Like, we're good.
He is, you know, he was at that Republican meeting or whatever you call it.
Clancy.
Skinner, and then Chalmers like Skinner.
He's like Seymour. He's like Mother. Patty. And then it's like Cletus is there. Oh wow, Bonnie. Mo,
like, I love that. Close like, to wing him again.
Hey, come on, you did me twice. Smithers.
And I loved the way like, I never got this joke until now, when Abe and Jasper,
the bordello.
Yeah, I never got that.
Keep it quiet. Like,
are they talking about the bordello? No, the burlesque house. So keep your mouth shut.
Well, the fact that, like, oh yeah, there's a worse one out there for us. Like,
I never got that.
No, me neither. Like, so then the mob basically descends on the house. Moe's gonna take him home a toilet.
I love how quick Springfield just can delve them. Into mob mentality. Well, just like that. It's at least one a season at least. Like.
And then it's like, Belle is like, who is it? It's like, it's an angry mob, ma'am. Could you step aside for a twinkle while we knock down your house? I love how everyone's like, just a minute.
Great name, by the way, Maison Derrière. Yeah,
the back house.
Again, a joke that I didn't get until much later.
Like, Homer is stopping them from wrecking it. Hans Molman has the flaming out.
Please hurry. Great song, by the way.
You could close down Moe's or the Quickie Mart, and nobody would care. But the heart and soul of Springfield's Inn are Maison Derrière.
We're the sauce on your steak, we're the cheese in your cake. We put the spring in Springfield.
We're the lace on the nightgown,
the point after touchdown.
Yes, we put the spring in Springfield.
We're that little extra spice that makes existence extra nice. A giddy little thrill at a reasonable price.
Our only major quarrel's with your total lack of morals.
Our skimpy costumes ain't so bad.
They seem to entertain you, Dad.
The gin in your martini, the clams on your linguine. Yes, we keep the in Springfield.
We remember our first first visit.
That service was exquisite.
Why, Joseph, I had no idea.
Come on now, you were working here. Without it, we'd have had no fun since March of 1961.
To shut them down now would be twisted.
We just heard this place existed.
We're the highlights in your hairdo.
The extra arms and Vishnu.
So don't.
I never really appreciate. Well, not that I didn't appreciate it because I liked it, but I really dug it this time.
My whole thing with it is like, we put that boing in, and it's like the first few of them are like, okay, spring. They're putting the spring, and then it's like,
like Moe's.
Yeah, I'm like, that's nothing, you know.
You know, again, I always
I'm overthinking it.
You're not, actually, because I always felt that myself. I'm like, Moe ruins it with that little.
Yeah,
but now it's kind of. I don't know. It kind of works.
It works. It works, but it doesn't work. Also,
yeah,
you know, it works as the musical part, but it doesn't work as the lyric filler in. If you know what I mean.
It's the bang.
Yeah.
Well, Springfield doesn't work.
Yeah.
But great song. I thoroughly enjoyed the song.
My favorite part was like, we remember our first visit. The service was exquisite. Well, Joseph, I had no idea. Come on now, you are working.
It's so boppy.
It is very catchy, you know. Yeah, like, I mean, they do it great. They do a mean musical number.
They do,
yeah.
And then Marge finally gets.
It's like, here I come, everybody.
Sorry, I had to read the bulldozer. And oh, the song, the fact that she
Two can play this game.
First of all, she's like, don't make up your mind. Did you hear both songs? The line, I never knew what she said before, where she's like, morals and ethics and
carnival bears.
Oh, brilliant.
Thanks a lot, Marge. That was our only burlesque house.
Yeah. And then even Belle, it kind of takes it still quite well. It's like, gee, I do love when you drop by.
Yeah, she's such a cool
cucumber. Yeah, she's very cool.
I like her.
Yeah.
And then she's doing stand up at the end. And Homer's just like, take it off.
Yeah.
Like, all right, Dad, you've been warm. Like, easy.
And that's kind of it.
That is it.
Yeah, well, I'm very interested to get your take on it, Terry. So shall we stop dilly-dallying and get into ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, pal.
Come right at me.
Thoughts?
How would I say it? I knew when I was watching it that there was some funny bits, but I didn't really enjoy it all that much. I had a better time talking about it here.
Yes.
But when I was sitting there, something's missing. You know, I was like, you know.
Yeah.
The more I like you think about it, like on paper, Belle is a better character than. I don't know, something about her, when I was watching, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, and like, my favorite character in the episode was Marge. She's my MVP this week. But I don't know, it just was like,
yes.
It was a come down. And I knew as well coming into it that it was like,
yeah.
Okay, I don't really care for this one. The musical number is great, don't get me wrong. That kind of lifts it back up almost.
Yeah, it's good to end on that.
It's just a weird, weird story and like, hard to criticize too much, but I'm going to anyway.
Rating?
8.
Ooh.
I was close to going...
Scathing for you.
I was close to going 7.9, but I'll give it an 8.
I'll tell you right now, I've given it a 7.8.
Mm. It's one of those, though, isn't it? Like, it is that, like...
Yeah, it wasn't... I didn't find myself laughing out loud at any of it. And even though, yes, I've seen them all a bunch of times, I thought it felt a little bit flat, and I thought that the Lisa and Marge cleaning the animals bit didn't really go anywhere. I know you had to get them out, but I felt like they could have maybe tied that up or made it a bit more interesting. Like, it wasn't that funny.
No,
when they got there, you know,
that's just the thing.
It's shit. It's not good.
It's two scenes and then they're back.
Yeah,
you know, like they're.
But I didn't laugh much. But the song was deadly, so I would say 7.8. My MVP would, let's say, Marge. Also,
yeah. Well, Marge. I think Marge is good. Like, you know?
So yeah, it was a bit like
you said it there. It's flat. It's weird. It's a.
In the same way that, like, the I want to say Ernest Hemingway, but I know that's not true.
Ernest Borgnine?
And I want to say Ernest Borgnine, but what I really mean is Rodney Dangerfield. And, like, in the same way that his episode last week was, like, it was also weird, but they made it work.
That popped. This one did not pop. This, like, one is, I don't know if it's low energy or what. Like,
maybe if they'd have got that guest star, maybe, but you still did a good job.
Yeah, I thought she was good. She was one of the better parts of the episode. Yeah. It's just the whole, I don't know, it seems a bit contrived or something like that. You know, there's some.
I was interested to see the underbelly of, you know, if you didn't want to call it that, of Springfield. I was just like the slightly more sordid side.
Like,
or,
we,
you know, I don't know.
Whenever we're doing the read through or whatever, we're generally positive.
Yeah.
But, like, because, like, when you're reading it there, you're reading the best bits, pretty much, or, like, the bits you like the most. Like that whole cartoony thing with Smithers, it was very funny. But there's not enough of it through the episode, or you know, I don't know. It's just, it was missing.
There's certain jokes that, like, even if you don't in an episode, like, even if you only have the odd, but like, there's a certain level to the jokes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's one where, like, that's really funny.
I didn't think that's funny. I've got it. Even the animation, I've got it now. It seemed like it was a season 9 episode, as opposed to
that thought as well.
To a season 8 one.
When it was like, at the West Coast, I was like, this place reeks of season 9 stench. But yeah, and not that, you know, season 9 still
got okay. Like,
we're probably being unfair. We should probably say like season 11 or something, but. You know what I mean?
No, I don't even think it's that bad. So that's the thing. Like, you know, it's part of it where you're like, are the wheels coming off this show?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're getting there. Yeah. You know?
I'm noticing it more now than I would have.
Yeah.
You know?
Considering how much we both enjoyed last week's episode, you're like, you know, it's still fucking really good.
Yeah.
And then this one, you're like, ooh, okay. This is a very uneven one.
Yeah. And what's the next one, do you know? A Millhouse Divided.
Yeah, now we're talking.
We're talking, Terry. Well, listen.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, should we get into our plugs?
Please tell me where I can find
Instagram. Put it in H podcast on Instagram. And on Twitter, you can find links to everything we do there, particularly on our Instagram. We have a link tree with our What's So Great About Marvel, our latest episode of this, our merchandise, our Bill Oakley interview, and our Patreon. Oh, before Terry tells you about the Patreon, you can also email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. And that's it.
So with the Patreon, we talk about it every week. Behind the curtain, that is the paywall. If you want to get in there for all the good stuff, it is the low fee of $5 dues, €4.50, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterling. So behind there, you will get two of our sister podcast episodes per month, our What's So Great About podcast, where we are just finishing up our 90s action series. We've done 7, and we've one more to go. TBD, or are we sticking with T2?
Look, I think I'm going to have to stick with T2. I can't think of a groundbreaking, like, I'm open to suggestions, by the way.
And I can't suggest. You're supposed to be picking it from me.
I put it out. I put it out there, and someone on Patreon, Neve, I believe it was, suggested The Mask, which is actually a good call, but I've watched it a lot this year.
Yeah, I'd say with Joni.
It both does and doesn't hold up, I'll say. In that, like,
I tell you who holds up in that movie,
the sergeant.
Yeah,
those pajamas.
Boy, y'all. Again, a very horny movie, The Mask.
Yes, it is.
Ipkiss.
I remember specifically, I'll tell you this for free. When I went to the cinema to see The Mask and Cameron Diaz came out, That was one of the first times I remember it. What was the mask? 95, 94?
Yeah, 4, I think. Because Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, and The Mask were all the same year. Yeah.
Were they?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'll tell you. So he got paid. He was huge. He got paid like $90,000 for Ace Ventura. And then it was like $300,000 for The Mask.
Wasn't it $1 million for Dumb and Dumber? Yeah.
It was like, that's how big a year he had. Wow. Like, it was like the jump. Like,
it was a huge year for him. He owned that year, really.
Pretty much. That set him up for the rest of his career, like, you know.
But I remember when Cameron Diaz first came on, I remember thinking, like, oh my God, that is the most beautiful woman. I was like, that was, at the time, I was like, that's the most attractive woman I've ever seen in my life. Even though I was 10.
Yeah, and you were 10.
I'm sure I didn't put it that
you're
way.
You're 8, like.
You know, but I always remember thinking that. So it's got a bit of a soft spot.
For me, top Cameron Diaz is Something About Mary.
Ah, yeah.
Always will be. There's something about her in that movie.
There is
something in that particular film.
It's in the title.
Yeah. The other two episodes per month you'll get are bonus ones. So, you know, we've done ones on
Our Perfect Day.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Perfect Festival. Pitching movie ideas, throwing our musical tastes each other's direction and seeing what we think of them.
We take requests as well. We've got a couple of requests that we're going to be doing down the pipeline after T2. I think we've got a couple that have been sent, and they're really good ideas. Thank you for sending them in, guys.
Yes.
We're both very much looking forward to getting our T2.
Particular
episode. But if you can't afford a Patreon, I know, times are tough, whatever like that, you can help us out in one other way. Now, Andy.
Terry.
Belle in this episode was 6th generation. Marge is 3rd generation Springfield. What I want is neither of those numbers. I want 5-star reviews from everybody out there.
How does he do it?
Well, what I do is if there's a number mentioned in the show.
It's quite simple, really. I take a number from the show and I replace that with the 5-star.
So 5-star review, guys, really goes far to help us grow the podcast. Yes. Really gets more ears on the product and, you know, it'll help us, you know, come up with more creative
full
stuff.
Stop.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. When I see those Instagram posts when we're in the charts,
when I see us on those charts, I tell you, if we're 20 plus.
anyway,
delete.
Yeah, no, leave it in, double it. It's because we're in the studio.
I know.
It's late night.
Yeah.
Giddy. But if you made it this far, a big thank you to you. You're really helping us by listening to the podcast. You know,
it really is the least you can do.
I like to call it base level.
We do really appreciate you listening.
And tell a friend. Sure, why not? You know,
In fact, I'd even bump that up ahead of the 5-stars. Pass it on.
Sure.
Take one, pass it on, as they say. But thank you very much for listening. Hopefully, this in-person studio vibe was good. I do enjoy the studio,
absolutely, man.
So we're going to try and do it as a bit more, obviously with certain
precautions
still in place and all that. We can't do it all the time, but definitely going to try and do it more, and hopefully we'll eventually get back to doing it like this. But yeah, I'll tell you what, it makes my edit a lot easier. One file, I don't even have to worry about what's what. Same levels.
Are they that much more arduous when I send you mine?
You son of a bitch. Yes, it's arduous. It's
how arduous. Is it?
Well, you asked for this thing.
No, you know what? Let's just end the end the episode.
First, I gotta make sure the sound levels.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Then I gotta make sure that we're
we will see you next week for a Milhouse Divided.
And then
those are illuminated. very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you. Today.